Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy New Year, Giles.
That's a funny thing to say. You're not allowed to say it after the 7th.
Are you not?
What is it?
Who made up that
and
rule?
And also, it's the 11th. And what do you mean? I've seen you every minute of every hour of every day for 11 days.
You start then.
Okay. Welcome to... Giles Corran has no idea. Nights!
Exciting.
Do you remember Baywatch Nights?
No.
Don't you?
Well, I remember the title, but I never watched it.
But like, the notion was... Pamela Anderson wears even less, I think. Or she dances around a pole in the same clothes. No, but Baywatch was Baywatch. And then Baywatch Nights was like shit that went down in the evening. And I think he wore his leather jacket and did some private investigating. Anyway, it was meant to be sexy. So the point is, what time is it?
It's 4:45.
You, who's always looking at the clock. It's 4:45. Why is it 4:45?
Because Ben couldn't do the podcast this morning as we normally
because
he forgot his flipping
texted
equipment.
At 11 o'clock at night. Oh, hi guys. So a special Fred Flintstone voice needed. Hey, Barney Rubble. Hey guys. Left the recording equipment out. So having planned out our day minute by minute as we always do. We then had nothing to do this morning, and he said, "When can you do it? Can you do it tomorrow?" So it's 4:30. We'll do it. So now it's 4:45, and it's like so. It's Giles Corran has no idea. Night. Maybe we can be ruder, sexier, more fun. Is there more energy from you? Maybe do you think at night? You know, some energy about here we are back and doing our podcast, and what have we been talking about? And are we going to be able to bring it together, or is it because we're in the middle of the kids are doing homework and the builders are still here? Is it too hard to do a podcast?
Yes, I think we should all go home. Oh no, wait, we are home. Okay, so stories. I thought there was sort of nothing over the weekend, and it was all a bit just really kind of Harry heavy. And
well, have we got anything on Harry's book?
Well, yes, we've got stuff on Harry's book, but nothing that's going to last until and realistic until.
But do you remember the fun conversation we were having yesterday about Harry's book?
No, what was it?
I said, let's do this tomorrow on the podcast.
What?
You don't remember you any of those things. Remember when we were having a conversation quite lively, like we liked each other and had ideas we wanted to share? And I was saying, let's try and bring that energy to the podcast tomorrow. Like the Harry's book stuff that you were saying.
What?
Okay, so we were sitting talking about the book and we were saying, God, the publishers must be pissed off, mustn't they? I mean, they must, because the publishers have fucked it up. It's really funny, isn't it? Because there was this great thing where everyone was waiting to see what was in Harry's book.
Yeah.
And it was going to be like people. They open the bookshops at midnight, and everyone's going to like queue up and find out what's in the book. But then the publishers. Remember when we talk about how thick publishers are, how shit they are.
Yes, yes.
And the publishers.
And so it was no surprise that they managed to publish it in its entirety in Spain about a fortnight before it was.
People like you and me who've tried to get books published and succeeded in getting books published and sometimes failed. We know that the reason that people don't buy books anymore is not because there's a lack of interest in literature. It's because publishers are all morons and can't do anything. So it should come as no surprise that the most important book of the last 20 years or whatever in terms of publishing. Revenue. The publishers, I don't know who they are, no need to name them, had one job, to not let anyone see copies of the book, and then the Spanish one, it doesn't really count in Spain, they thought.
Yeah.
And so,
what did happen?
Harry spent all this time, oh, I'm going to tell it all in my own words, it's going to be great, finally my words, and then what got quoted? The Spanish translation translated back into English is what got translated.
Mm. That's where the confusion about the being him losing his virginity behind a pub to a woman who liked horses, and the spanking on the bum, it was mistranslated. It was supposed to be a play on the fact that he was a lively young stallion and she sort of smacked him on his rump and sent him out to eat some
grass.
Was it?
Do you know
or whatever.
This?
Yes, I read somewhere that the mysterious kind of she spanked me on my ass and sent me on my way was like some kind of weird Babel fish translation of the kind of...
She spanked me on my ass and sent me on my way.
Exactly. Yeah. It was a kind of weird...
Wait, I'll see you back on. And then... they just put? Do you think they just put it into Google Translate?
I think so.
Do you think that basically all the newspapers they got, we've got copies of the Spanish one, send out global email. Anyone in the building speaks Spanish? Cienciorte says one of the cleaners comes downstairs, little Paraguayan fella, and just like translates the whole thing, and that's the story.
Yeah.
And it's not what happened at all. Maybe.
Everything else is wrong.
I read the first few pages of the British edition. You've read it now, the real one?
No.
You haven't read Spare yet.
Have you?
Yeah.
What, the actual book?
Weirdly, Johnny Yeo sent me the whole thing as a PDF at midnight.
What?
I don't know.
Johnny Yeo is like such a dark lord.
Johnny Yeo, the famous portrait artist and sort of like, what they call, nifty trader and super successful, my most successful, charming and wonderful and well-connected friend. When he sends me something in the middle of the night,
yeah,
it's usually...
not a book.
Filth.
And on your phone?
On my phone.
Okay.
And the very first thing it says, some folks out there probably think. And I thought... Folks.
I thought they went through the book and took out all the stupid Americanisms and made him sound English.
Not that bit, no.
Yes, I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, there's been. I've read a very, very brilliant piece just now by someone called Will Lloyd on Unheard about Prince Harry, and it was really super good. And the really good thing about it was about how. He was saying that, unfortunately, Prince Harry... He said two things. The first thing was that, unfortunately, there is no buccaneering, like, sojourn out to, like, Afghanistan, where Prince Harry can die leading a charge into the teeth of some guns, okay? So he can't live, you know, realise his potential in that way. And he also said, if this was the 14th century, Prince Harry would be in France, you know, mustering a load of soldiers in order to invade England and, like, put Piers Morgan in a gibbet and stuff. But it's all...
You mean he'd be what he was probably saying, that he'd be mustering an army to fight against William?
Exactly. Prince Harry is... an anachronism.
So the thing that people have been saying, there have been feuds between brothers. Look, this is not what I meant. I didn't mean we should have a talk about Harry, because there's this thing where we're not interested, are we? Remotely. It's not remotely interesting, but it's the only thing in the papers, which is a situation.
Well, it was until Tuesday, and then there's been a couple of other things.
Yeah, well, they have. But I mean, but we have found ourselves in this situation before with this podcast, haven't we? With things like with Brexit, with various things that have
COVID.
Where there's nothing else. But we've got Harry, you know. Everyone assumes it to be clickbait, but is it all done?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was. I've been asked to write about it lots of times, and I've just said no. And every other writer on the paper has written something about Harry's book. It's boring. It's sort of absurd. It's also, Harry is, as we've said many times, and we've mocked him for being stupid, but Harry's across the other side of the world. He's in the hands of these publishers who have been, they've got a ghostwriter out there. All these confessions you just wouldn't make. They're kind of X Factor things. They're people who want to get into The Apprentice, who tell stories about how they lost virginity and stories about killing people. And so I killed those people and then I shagged her and then I did this and it's all someone else's fault. And then he hit me and I fell on a dog bowl. And so you would just be, any advisor would be saying, no, don't do that, Harry. Not since Ethelred the Unready, who we all know, was not really unready. He was unread, wasn't he? In Anglo-Saxon, which means the ill-advised. Since Ethelred the Unread has any royal been as unread as poor Henry.
Apart from Duke of York.
He didn't take any advice either. He must... Yeah. The Duke of York...
It's not bad advice. There's no advice.
There was no advice. So he's just got there with me, and he's decided to do this book. And I think it's a car crash. It's a terrible story of mental unwell-being, and it's going to end really, really horribly. And I've chosen not to write about it because I don't want my stuff to be there in the press when something terrible happens to Harry.
Yeah, right.
And everyone looks back and says, "Well, look at the mean things you said." But everyone else in the paper has. So I wrote about my electric car, and that got far more clicks than anybody else.
Sure did. How many clicks did it get?
I don't know.
How many comments?
It got lots of comments, but people are sort of madly interested in electric cars. And all I'm saying is, it's really, really boring, and we're done with it. But I just thought, if we talked about it on the podcast, people might listen.
What, the electric car thing?
No, it's boring.
Stop it! It's not boring. Everybody's fascinated by the electric car. So, right, we got this rotten electric car. It broke down 2 miles from our house on New Year's Eve. It was the 30th. And it was really annoying, and we had to walk 2 miles home in the rain and leave our car by the side of the road. But what is it? I mean, obviously, this is a bit quotidian and boring to us now. What is it about the electric car piece or the electric car story? Do you think I mean, people have called me. People who don't normally call me and say, "Oh my God, I heard about your electric car." And I'm like, what? I mean, it was a good piece.
No, there's something about when I wrote it. I knew I've been wanging on about my electric car. I knew that it had a bit of traction because it was a bit famous, because it got in the papers because it kept getting stolen. Mm-hmm. And I've been wanging on about it. And so there was a bit of a thing. It has its own Twitter sort of account.
Giles's iPlace.
It's mostly, I didn't get stolen, I just left because that wanker was sitting, like, you know. It's sort of, but it's not a very nice, but it's like, I haven't got a Twitter account anymore, but my car has.
Right.
And this was all in the papers and everything. And then, but I'd also written about how great it was, and I was humble bragging a bit. I was going, oh, I've got this car, I'm just like Jesus. That's not very humble brag, is it? It's just a brag. And I'm doing all these things to save the planet because I'm so wonderful and marvellous. And that gets people's backs up a little bit. And then it's failed, and I've said it's failed, and I'm giving it up, and I'm going back to petrol. 2030 is bullshit, and I'm going to buy a petrol car when I still can. And I think it's just tapped into the huge majority of Times readers who are just think the green, they're all furious about Extinction Rebellion, think the green thing is all a sham or something.
I think that the green thing in sort of eco stuff and recycling and change this and change that is very, very triggering to everybody, not just Times readers, because it's because people really want to protect their way of life and they don't want to have to change anything too significantly. So it's a little bit like diet pieces are massively clicked on and read, because people who are overweight want to read the diet piece because they think maybe this is the thing that's going to change my life. And people who are not overweight read the diet piece because they think I want to have my own lifestyle confirmed. So the electric car thing, people who are doggedly with petrol wanted to read that piece because they want to see how the electric car had failed. And people with electric cars wanted to read the piece because they wanted sanguinity with you in their sort of travails with their electric car. So I think that eco stuff, and particularly electric cars, because it is a huge investment and people do have range anxiety and they think, well, is this electric car actually going to work? And, like, it doesn't over a long distance. So I think that's why it was so popular. So
you've touched on what the one, in the things you were saying, the thing that I think is the point is that people were, in terms of the notion of this podcast and whatnot, the question is, having got twice as many comments on my piece about the electric car as any piece I've ever written, and more than any of the pieces which were theoretically clickbait about Harry, yeah, should I do it again?
Should you do your electric car again?
The journalistic question is, yeah, people look at, when I wrote about architects should all be killed and was joking, Reba have commissioned every episode of their magazine and podcast ever since to end Giles Corran. He meant it's terrible. It was filthy. It was just clickbait. Yeah. And you want to go, whoa, guys, you think architects are clickbait?
Yeah.
I'm not sure you know what clickbait is. Mm. You do not write, the word architect is the opposite of clickbait. Nobody, clickbait is, you'll never guess what Macaulay Culkin's girlfriend's tits look like now.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes, and then they just try and sell you insurance or boob jobs and you never get to the thing. That's clickbait. And people, and so clickbait, architects are not clickbait. So there was no, you're not going to get any new readers by saying mean things about that. But Reba think that it is because they think they're really important. One would have thought that Harry was clickbait. The Times thought that Harry was clickbait. They commissioned everybody to write these pieces. And I went and looked at them, and below the line on pieces by our best writers, Catlin and Crampton and everybody writing these pieces about Ben McIntyre, and most of the comments said, that's enough about Harry. You know, yeah, love you, Catlin. Yeah, very fine. That's enough about fucking, this is the time, stop it. Nobody cares, they all say. And I wrote about my electric car. This isn't about me being all marvellous and popular, because I normally don't get many comments. But my piece about the electric car, people, that turned out to be clickbait. And I think it's probably because, as you say, people want to read something that confirms that their inactivity is okay.
Yeah.
They want it to be endorsed. So people love to read that. Will, when it eventually comes along, they will love. Well, we all love to read things like calorie counting doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or
one glass of red wine a day, good for your heart.
Nobody is having sex at all.
Yeah.
You want to. You don't want nobody. Everyone's doing it 9 times a week. Nobody wants to see. So in the all those people, Times readers who are not Telegraph and Mail readers who think that global warming doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And it's all a scam by lefties. But they're not Guardian readers who go everywhere on a bicycle they built themselves out of yogurt. They are people who realise that global warming's a thing. Probably they should change behaviour,
yeah,
but they haven't got a lot of money at the moment. They quite like their car. Mm. They should maybe get an electric vehicle, but ye God, they're expensive. And where am I going to charge it? And then this, they're sort of within the Times poster boy for electric car. The Elon Musk of the broadsheets, me, is going, it's fucked, I'm getting rid of it. And
yeah,
I think they all went, yay, because the comments were all supportive. So in the, nobody said, do you actually get paid for this drivel? Or
really?
Alan Corr must be turning in his grave.
Oh, right.
They all were going, yeah, you're completely right. A few Tesla people said, yeah, you bought a shit car because it's a Jag. But so the question arises, you know, should I just revisit the electric car for the benefit of my... After all, what did we do this morning?
Sorry?
What did we do this morning? This afternoon? This morning? What did we do this morning?
Oh, we bought a new car.
What kind of car did we buy?
We bought a BMW i3.
We bought another electric car, haven't we?
We chipped in. Well, yes, because the conclusion that we have come to, but the conclusion...
But do you realise...
The thing that we knew within 6 months of buying that car is that it doesn't work on long journeys. They are brilliant for town, particularly if you live in London, which is quite a unique town in which it's your town, but you can't drive into it because cars basically aren't allowed... unless they're electric cars. So if you've got an electric car, London is your oyster. It's like it's 1930.
Parenthesis. When you said London is your oyster, okay?
Yeah.
Do you know what I realised this morning?
That you hate your wife?
No, that was last night at about... That was last night at 2 in the morning when you gave me a dead leg and didn't say sorry. And for the second time, you gave me two dead legs. On this podcast, I used to complain that we didn't have enough sex. Now it's got to the thing in bed where not only do I have sex, and when I'm asleep, I get a dead leg. Anyway, look, it's fine. That's why I'm pissed off. But it's a subpar podcast because you gave me a dead leg in the night. I know. And then
you haven't
been nice to me today to make up for it.
Yeah, I've been very nice to you today.
I put in a text message. I said I'm being like this because you gave me a dead leg.
Yeah, I told you to fuck off.
I know.
Fucking dead leg.
And then you sit down and expect me to be nice in a podcast.
That's not...
Yes! I'm pissed off about it. Still.
Ask me why I gave you a dead leg.
Why did you give me a dead leg?
Because you were starfished.
Ask me why I was starfished.
Because of the fucking cat.
Yes.
Because you prioritise
that cat. Ask me why the cat is in bed.
Why?
Because somebody has to cuddle me at night. I wasn't starfished.
I
was...
You were. You were. You were.
Iris was sleeping.
You were.
Iris and me. There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You were starfish and Iris was in your fucking butt crack. That's why you couldn't move.
No, I was just skewed very slightly to the left of her. You were sprawled over the
I
bed.
Was
you
not.
Had two thirds of this entire
not.
Bed.
I was not.
You
I
were.
Was not.
So you admit that you gave me a dead leg?
I did not give you a dead leg. I gave you a polite shove.
You got up to go and have a wee.
You got up to look out of the window.
What were you looking at? You got up to look out of the window. That woke me up. Rattle, rattle by the curtain. Looking outside. Ooh, something went bump. Is it the people next door? Is somebody smoking a joint on the estate? Then you came round, bumped into the bed, went to the loo, had a really loud piss like a horse. Then you came back, got into bed, and I was fully awake, and then you went, yank, gave me a fucking Bruce Lee just above the knee. Bam. I went, ouch. You basically did it again.
didn't.
And then you said you're starfished across the bed. And as it is, I wasn't because I was on my side because I'm so afraid of snoring.
Like, you snored all night. Yes, you did.
I was on my side.
Yes, you did.
Later,
you
at five in the morning, no! You've been awake for 3 hours. I rolled onto my back to have a couple of minutes sleep and you karate chopped me in the throat because I had one slightly loud breath. And now we've got these builders building a bedroom. We don't have a snoring room anymore.
We do. I'm getting one. I'm going to get a blow up mat. None of that was true. None of
it's
that
all
was true.
True.
It wasn't true. You've just shouted your side of the story at me with jokes. So I laugh and don't tell
you. I won. That's journalism.
You have
That's
not won. That cat is no longer welcome in our bedroom. If it means that you have to prioritise her sleep and welfare over my sleep and welfare, she is not coming back into that bedroom. I'm sorry, it's over.
That was a parenthesis about the world of London being your oyster.
Oh, God, were we on a set? We were on
yes,
a subject, weren't
I
we?
Said...
Yeah.
And then you gave me your fucking fuck-off death stare and then we talked about the thing.
You started it. You started
what did
it.
I realised why it's called an oyster card.
Because... So that London is your oyster.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Yes.
You see, I think you didn't.
I worked it out about 25 years ago when they first came in.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I was very, I was very, very excited when Oyster cards first came in because I used to go everywhere on the bus before I had a rich husband who bought me electric cars.
He's not even allowed to sleep in his own fucking bed with his cat without getting karate chops. So, anyway, the point is... Surely the headline for
one man is cat
worst not, podcast ever. This
allowed.
Is all Ben's fault. Ben did give us the option of waiting till next week. It's still an option.
Well, let's see what Ben can do with it. And then...
Here is the thing.
Yeah.
I was only given that it was the most successful column basically in history since the invention of column writing, uh-huh. Like Bernard Levin included. Surely the headline of this is we've bought another electric car. It was really easy.
With Cinch. Hmm. I don't think they're not going to allow you to mention Cinch. Although I've got to say...
I think Rylan will get money if we mention Cinch.
Oh, is he the Cinch person?
Is he the Cinch, isn't he? Or is he the kazoo person?
I have now...
I've cinched it. Now
I have now bought three cars on Cinch and they are brilliant.
It's not just easy. It's a cinch. No,
it is a cinch.
It's not just easy. I cinched it.
Yeah.
Teeth gleaming.
You love Rylan.
I love Rylan.
You love Rylan. Why are you taking the piss out of him?
Because he talks funny. He's got big, kind of, shiny teeth.
We do love Rylan. He's lovely. Okay, so we bought our... Yes, so we have bought another electric car. Oh, yeah, maybe you should. You could do that. Although I think you need to actually have it and kind of drive it around.
Almost every column is about me buying something, going somewhere, generally being rich now. I ought to just stop.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so Waitrose wine in a can. Do you know this story?
No.
Okay, cool. Here we go.
Is it just that Waitrose are selling wine in a can? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It better be bigger than that.
I'm sure it is.
They'll be selling beer in a can next.
Combat waste with can of Waitrose wine. Andrew Elson, happy new year to you, Andrew. Waitrose is to become the first supermarket to replace small wine bottles with cans. From next week, all small bottles of wine, apart from Champagne, Prosecco and Carver and Rioja, because of appellation restrictions, will be replaced by aluminium cans to reduce the company's carbon footprint. Other things in cans.
Ooh, there's nothing.
Butter.
There's nothing like a wine container story. I could do the first part about everybody remember the wine box from the 80s.
Yes.
Then we can do the screw cap debate. Everyone loves that.
Yeah.
Then we can do two parts on whether a glass of wine a day contains enough antioxidants to stop your heart disease risk, because that always gets a click.
It does.
Then we say
that's clickbait.
You bring them home in your electric car from the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
You serious? No, fine, because there was water. I mean, I'm joking, but there was because there was water cans, wasn't there?
That's which is just, but it's all wrong, okay?
And do you water remember, comes out of a tap.
But do you remember over Christmas when we went to stay with my sister and she had chicken stock in a can?
Did she?
Yeah.
Blech.
I know. No, it was delicious.
You're drawing attention to. You're saying that when we went to stay with Hannah and Zander, she had chicken stock in a can.
Yes.
As opposed to
in a pouch.
In a pouch?
Yeah.
As opposed to chicken stock that you boil from bones and keep in a saucepan.
Which we were in a rented house in Cornwall. How's she supposed to do that?
Okay, what would my brother-in-law Zander, Alexander Armstrong of Pointless,
yeah,
what would he have said if someone had brought wine in a can to him? Shiny. He went, we're going to open something up.
He literally, very unusual.
Whenever it gets to drinky time, Zander always goes, he goes...
Yeah.
It makes the noise of the, we'll draw a cork on something spectacular.
Yeah.
You see, as long as the world is full of people like Zander in their cardigans at 6 p.m. drawing the cork and a couple of bottles to decant for dinner, there'll be no market for wine in a can.
It's true.
Should we have a drink? Would that help?
Now?
Well, in the podcast, it's podcast nights. I don't really want a drink.
No.
Okay.
We know that more... This is from the piece. We know that more people are buying their...
When you said we know that people... I thought you were going to say we know files.
Sorry? Oh, we know files, yeah. A wienophile is someone who
I used to think it was an onophile, but it's actually a wienophile, spelled O-E-N-O, people who love wine. But you said we know. Do you see what I did there?
Do you think that me really liking white wine, although I'm off it at the moment because I've got a bit of a tummy problem, do you think that just liking wine makes you a wienophile?
Drink for 3 days.
Well, normally so you crabby. Say that. Normally you say that I'm crabby because I have had a drink.
I know.
I'm hungover.
But I'm cutting you some slack.
How are you cutting me any slack? You were vile to me when I was ill.
No! What?
Well, okay, fine.
What?
You were nice to me on Sunday. But on Monday, you expected me up and at 'em.
No, this is a narrative. You're just like the press are to Harry and Meghan. You box me in with your narrative, which is horse shit. I looked after the kids all day, and I brought you tea, and Marmite on toast in bed, and everything that you wanted, and then fuck's sake.
I took that back. I rescinded that. I said you were lovely to me on Sunday.
What did I do on Monday?
Well,
I went to the office. I took a child to school, brought you tea in bed, and went to the fucking office to earn a living.
But then you also did tell me on Sunday that I was a malingerer and I was staying in bed all day because I didn't want to look after my children. And you were like, ha ha, like it's a joke.
It must have been a joke.
No, but it was
on Sunday, the day when I took the kids out all day, bringing you food and drink in your bed.
Yeah, and then told me that I was a malingerer and I was in bed because I didn't want to look after my children. Hardy heart, there are no jokes. You meant it.
So you mean, while waiting on your hand and foot, I wasn't somber enough in tone?
Yes.
No, this is horseshit. Every time you're ill, sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm bad. I get a lot of chances to hone my different behaviours.
I'm never ill.
No, never. But on this particular most recent occasion of this year, I thought that I did as much as one could possibly expect you to do.
It's true.
It's
true, you were fine.
You know,
you were fine. Have you had your Imodium?
Knock until I've eaten here some food? Can I go to the doctor and get you anything? All of it. What about my medical news?
Which bit of your rolling ticker tape of medical news shall we?
Well, my GP. I had all those blood tests because of my raised cholesterol and all these kind of things, and lots of the prostate stuff which people don't need to know about or care. But it was all fine.
Is prostate stuff clickbait?
I
tell you what's fucking clickbait. I tell you what's clickbait.
Are we going a long way away from the medical stuff?
No, we are going right up the medical stuff.
Mm-hmm. Clickbait.
Which is your amazing...
Yes, I'm building up to it. Don't give it away or do. This is what I'm building up to.
Would you just like to do this podcast with Ben?
No, it's fine. No. I love the fact that you saw where I was going and then skipped to the chase.
Would you like to do this podcast with the cat?
Meow.
Would it be better?
No, darling, no. Sorry, no. Sorry. We were talking about the same thing.
Fine.
I was just going more slowly because I'm a bore.
We have your super clickbait.
We have the super clickbait. My blood cholesterol, which has in the past been as high as 7.7, which is quite bad, and they want to put you on statins, and was around about 7 when I last had it tested. If your cholesterol gets up towards 8, 9 and 10, you're at a massive risk of having a myocardial infarction and dying. And so that's what people don't want, and that's why they take statins. And they, in alignment with other factors, which is essentially obesity, smoking,
family stuff,
cardiovascular fitness, and family stuff. How likely are you to? So in my case, I'm not obese, and I don't smoke. And it's very hard to tell whether there's a family history of heart disease because cancer gets us before that you have time
cancer
to be done by your
everyone.
Heart.
Yeah.
But the thing was that it was at a point where I was being retested for my cholesterol. And if it was 7, then he said, you should probably take a statin. And having just started taking allopurinol for my gout, I didn't... This world of suddenly millions of pills.
Suddenly you're just an ill person taking pills all the time.
And exactly. And I don't want to take statins. Lots of people, like your mum, believe that statins are...
Queen of the conspiracy theory.
Mike Bill Gates can control your mind through your statins or whatever. It has side effects sometimes. It's not the best thing in the world. Anyway, my mate Remus at the football, the father of one of Sam's football mates, he said he had high cholesterol and it was brought down by Benecol. Other yogurty drinks are available. I don't think I should advertise Benecol. Yeah. Although, interesting story, maybe Benecol will sponsor me because... Mm. You remember the snoring people? The snoring thing I put up my nose to stop me snoring.
Spectacles.
They now want to me to work with them.
Yeah, but they don't work, so...
Yes, they do.
The spectacle thing.
Yes, they do. They do work.
Yes, they do work.
They do work.
Yeah.
And I will say that also when I'm being paid to say it.
Okay.
As much as I'm not, they do work. I wasn't wearing them last night. Anyway, Benecol and red yeast rice is such horseshit.
It's not horseshit, it's fine, keep
he
going.
He said, Benecol and red yeast rice will bring your cholesterol down. The headline here is, I then every day went glop with my little shot of, it's like Yakult, I don't know if it's different, but it's called Benecol, which I think means it's beneficent for your cholesterol. It's like oyster, it's like an actual wordplay. And I had one every day, and red yeast rice, which I fuck knows what that is.
But it's a supplement that you can buy from Amazon.
But what's it made from? Is it yeast or is it rice?
Who knows? Red yeast rice.
Took four a day. Benecol.
Four a day?
Well, you have to get quite a lot. And if you took the whole lot in one pill, it would be the size of a coffee mug. So, and you would never, you'd be like Tom and Jerry trying to get it down.
Right.
But so you take four big tablets, wash it down with water, Benecol. And I got my blood test results yesterday morning and my cholesterol was 5.5. Mm. Right, it's come down 1.5, it's come down by 25%.
It's like unheard of.
More than statins would have done.
Yeah, yeah.
Unheard of, more than any dietary change.
Yeah. So your massive clickbait column could be, I know the secret of lowering your cholesterol.
The only problem is that's really like Daily Mail health pages, isn't it? Sort of John
the
Nash.
The most read section of the internet ever in the history of the world.
Well, this is the question. Do I want clicks or don't I? So the piece is probably, do I want clicks or don't I? Last week, I got a billion clicks for writing about my electric car. Here's some other clickbait you might like to
that's
know.
That's very meta.
You'll never believe what Esther looks like now.
Yeah.
Very nice as it happens.
No, but she looks like an old bag.
Before photos, after photos.
Yeah.
No, you still look very nice. It's inside that you're... You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on The Times radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
You eat cheese in the sink?
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no,
yes. How would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.